Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Gimel. Today we're going to discuss, we have a lot of Agadat HaNamar Aleph. We're going to discuss whether weapons are considered to be a Masui or a Tachshit and how that relates to a discussion that applies in the days of the Yimos HaMashiach. The Gemara then teaches a lot of lessons about Talmud Torah, and then we're going to go through five separate Divrei Agada that we learn in the name of Reish Lakish, and then finally on Amud Beis we can get back to a little bit of Halacha and describe the difference between a couple of different Kalim that we mentioned in the Mishnah about a woman going out with on Shabbos. So we are holding on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We just mentioned last time how when people speak in a way of about Derech Znos, they couch it in terminology that relates to food. So we're holding on the third line. Amar Rach v'Amar Yehuda, Atzi Yerushalayim shel kinamon hayu. The Atzi Yerushalayim, the wood of Yerushalayim, was made out of fragrant wood of kinamon, of cinnamon. And they would use it to light fires. The smell would go through all of Eretz Yisrael. It was a delicious smell that went through all of Eretz Yisrael. But when Yerushalayim was destroyed, Nignezu v'lanishtayir el kisa'ora, it was all hidden away, and all we have left of it is kisa'ora, a very small amount. U'mishtakach b'gazoyi d'tzimtzuma'i malchasa, and it could be found in the storehouses of tzimtzuma'i malchasa, of a certain king. Okay, so, or a certain queen. So the Maritz Chayis tries to identify who this person is, that apparently comes up in Yerushalmi, whoever it is. New Mishnah. Lo yeseh ish lo b'sayif, lo b'keshes, lo b'tris. A man is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a bow, with a shield, v'loba ala v'loba romach, nor with an ala or a romach. As a romach is a spear, we'll see what all these items are in the Gemara. V'im yatzo chayiv chatos, and if he does go out, he's chayiv chatos. Meaning these are weaponry. The man is not allowed to carry his weapons on him on Shabbos. If he does, he's chayiv chatos because it's nisudar reisa, it's otzah dar reisa. Rabbi Lazar omer tachshitin in lo. Rabbi Lazar says no, it's not otzah dar reisa. These are adornments. These are tachshitin. These make him look good. The Chum say no, these don't make him look good. These are things that have a very negative connotation to it, to have to wear weaponry. Shnemar v'kitzu charbosom liitim v'chad nisayim l'mizmaros v'lo yisagoy al goy chare v'lo yomudu od milchama. That the Navi tells us, that Nimos HaMashiach, the Navi Yishayot tells us, we're going to take our swords and turn them into plowshares, we're going to take our spears and turn them into pruning shears, and lo yisagoy al goy chare, no nation is going to hold up a sword against another nation, and no one's going to be engaged in war anymore. So the ideal that we look forward to is to not have to deal with war. It's a g'nai that we still have to deal with war. It's just a reminder that we still haven't been zocha to Yemos HaMashiach yet. So don't tell me that it's a tachshit. Biris tahora v'yotzen ba b'Shabbos. A garter is tahar, and a woman is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Kavalim, leg chains, tameim, vein yotzen ba b'Shabbos. They're tamei, and you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. So, my ba'ala, what does Allah mean? Now we were able to translate all of the other weapons in the Mishnah, a sayif, a kashas, a tris, those are all familiar. What's ba'ala? So answer Gemara, kulfa, it's a mace, some type of studded metal implement that they would use to hurt other people. Rav Lazar omer tachshitin in lo. Rav Lazar says, when you have weapons, weapons are a tachshit, and therefore you're not chayiv achatas for going out with weapons. Tanya omer lo l'Rav Eliezer, v'chimachar de tachshitin in lo, mipnei mahin b'tein l'nimos HaMashiach. If they're such nice things and they add so much to the outfit, so then why in Yemos HaMashiach aren't there going to be any weapons anymore? Granted, you may not use them for their function, you may not use them to kill people, to hurt people anymore, because there's not going to be any milchama anymore, but still, if it's a tachshit, then people should still wear it. So he said, no, but you're not going to need it because it says, that's why people aren't going to have it. Okay, but if it's a tachshit, it's beautiful, so they should still wear it. It's like a candle in broad daylight. A candle in broad daylight is not nice at all. It's completely useless. So yes, it's true that the various weapons are a tachshit, but that's only because they also have a function. I mean, since they have a function, it has the secondary effect of having a tachshit. But when it has no function, it's not viewed as a tachshit at all. Upliga de Shmuel, and this is all against Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, I mean, this whole idea that we say that b'teilin li'mos HaMashiach, that these things aren't going to exist, li'mos HaMashiach, there's not going to be any war, there's not going to be any need for any weapons, is against Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, ein bein olam azel li'mos HaMashiach, el shibud gol. Yos Bavad, that there's no difference between the way the world runs now and the way the world is going to run in Yimosa Mashiach, except for Shibud Galios, that Klal Yisrael is not going to have to worry about the Shibud of Galus. We're not going to have to deal with Galus anymore. We're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, running our own government, running our own country, so we're not going to have to worry about any of that anymore. But that's it. Everything else is exactly the same between Olam Hazeh and Yimosa Mashiach. Tosfos points out, what do you mean? Afgav Dahasha in Yerushalayim ve'in Beis HaMikdash v'il Yimosa Mashiach, yeah, kol banoi. Nowadays, we don't have Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash v'benuya. We don't have it built, so and obviously that's something that we do hope for in Yimosa Mashiach. So it says, Tzarech Lomer Dahi Ein Bein Lav Davka. So you have to say, Ein Bein is Lav Davka, that there are certain minor or even major differences, but we're saying just that, which Will means to emphasize, is that Teva, that the natural order of the world is still going to be in place, and part of the natural order of the world is that countries go to war with each other. Shenemar, back in the Gemara, Shenemar, Ki lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz. The pasuk says that lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz, that even in Yimos HaMashiach, there's always going to be an evyon, there are always going to be poor people, there are going to be rich people, there are going to be people more successful, less successful. That's just the way of the world. So don't assume that there's not going to be any such thing as a weapon. And this is, however, even though it's against Shmuel to say that the weapons aren't going to exist anymore in Yimos HaMashiach, it supports Rav Chiya bar Abba. Dam Rav Chiya bar Abba, Kol HaNavim Lo Nesnabu El Yimos HaMashiach. Because Rav Chiya bar Abba says all of the things that we see in Navi about the amazing supernatural type of world and existence that it's going to be, all of that is in Yimos HaMashiach. Avli Olam Abba, Ayin Lo Ras El Kim Zol Asecha. Olam Abba is even beyond that. That even the Nevi'im couldn't see. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what Olam Haba is about. So apparently we have this machlokas between Shmuel on the one hand and Rav Chiya bar Abba on the other hand, where Shmuel holds that Yimos HaMashiach is going to be, the world is going to run with its natural order, except for the fact that there won't be Shibud Galdios. And Rav Chiya bar Abba says, no, in Yimos HaMashiach, there's going to be a very unnatural type of world, very supernatural type of world, as described in the Nevi'im. V'yigada Amri, others have the conversation as follows. Amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer, v'chimiachad t'achshitin en lom, ne'mahim b'tein l'mos HaMashiach, that the Chum challenged Rabbi Eliezer, if you really hold that it's a tachshit, that these weapons are a tachshit for a person, why won't they exist in Yimos HaMashiach? Amru lehen, af l'Yimos HaMashiach in b'teilin. He said, they're not going to be gone in Yimos HaMashiach. Hainu d'Shmuel, and that's exactly like Shmuel, meaning that we're going to need them in Yimos HaMashiach. Humanity is going to need weaponry still in Yimos HaMashiach, in line with what Shmuel said. Upligad Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and against what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba holds that no one's going to need them in Yimos HaMashiach, because that's what all the Nevi'im were misnavi about, is Yimos HaMashiach. Amr le Abai le Rav Dimi, v'amr le Rav Avya, v'amr le Rav Yosef le Rav Dimi, v'amr le Rav Avya, v'amr le Abai le Rav Yosef. Somebody said to somebody, but a lot of confusion about who said to who. My time is Rav Lazar, damr tachshit in hinlo. Why does Rav Lazar think that they're called the tachshit? Tachshiv, meaning what's his basis? Where does he find the source for this? Tachshiv, because the pasuk says, chagor charbucha al yerech, gibor hodcha v'hadorcha, that you should gird your sword on your thigh, and the strong man, it is your splendor, it's your glory to have a sword. So you see, having the sword is not just functional, that you'll be able to hurt people with it, but it's your splendor, it's your glory, it's a tachshit. Amar Rav Kana lemar b'rei d'Rav Huna, hay b'divrei Torah k'siv. No, but that's not talking about a sword. I mean, that's talking that's a metaphor. It really refers to divrei Torah, that your divrei Torah are your hod and hadar. It's not really about a sword being a hod and hadar. So Amalei ein mikriyot zimidei pshuta. He says, yeah, but we have a rule ein mikriyot zimidei pshuta, that the pashup shad of pasuk is always correct, and therefore, even though it's also true about divrei Torah, the additional level of interpretation that divrei Torah are hod v'hadar is true. True, but the Pashup Shad is also true, that the Cherev is also Hod Vahadar. Amar of Kahana Kadavina Bartimni Sre Shinin, Vavagamirnale Lakulia Shas. Rav Kahana says, when I was 18 years old and I finished all of Shas, Vlovi Adana de In Mikriyosimide Pshuto Ad Hashta, but I still didn't know In Mikriyosimide Pshuto until right now. Mike Kamash, Melina, why does he have to show off like that? Why does he have to tell us that he was 18 years old and he finished all of Shas and he still didn't really understand some basic ideas? The Ligmarinish Vahadulis. He's telling us the proper derech halibud that a person should have, that a person should learn a lot first and then lisper, and then he should analyze further. But it's senseless to analyze if you haven't seen a lot of material. person wants to analyze the intricacies of a sugya, and they haven't seen all the Mishnayos and the Masechta, they don't know anything about the Masechta, so it's silly. You're not going to say anything intelligent. When you have a basic foundation of knowledge, then the analysis is much, much more meaningful. We have that in all over Shas. The Gemara has comments like that. In Sukkah Daf Chavtes, the Gemara tells us, Rav and Rami Bar Chama, Ki Avin Kaimi Mekamei D'Rav Chista, Merati B'Gemara Ba'adei Adadi, V'Hadar Ma'ini B'Sfara. First they would run through the Gemara, and then they would be Ma'ini B'Sfara, then they would look into in greater detail. Navod Zara Daf Yates, La'olam Yilmor Adam, V'Achar Kach Yege. Person should first learn what there is to know, and then he should work harder at being ma'ayin b'talmudo, the way Rashi understands it, to be medame milsa l'milsa, to ask kashas, to be metarets. In Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, Rav Meir first learned by Rabbi Shmuel v'gomer Gemara, and then he went to Rabbi Kiva v'savar svara. He first went to the very strong Bekiyas Rebbe to get the basic foundation of knowledge. Then he went to Rabbi Akiva to be oker harim and to be masbir svaros that are more challenging. So that's something that he was trying to teach us by telling us that when he was 18 years old, he learned through all of Shas. Now this concept of Ein Mikri Yotzi Midei Pshuto, the Ramami Panu, is quoted in Shomu Tzion Ba'alacha. He says, A Raya Brura Shabakala Toru Kula Ein Mikri Yotzi Midei Pshuto is a Pasuk in Divrei Yamin. He killed those who killed his father. The pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, "Ves b'neim lohemis ki kasuv b'taras Moshe leim suafas albanim." He didn't kill their children because it says in the Torah that leim suafas albanim, that you're not going to kill one for the other. You're not going to kill children for parents, parents for children. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chav Zayin and Beis discusses what that pasuk really means, and it says leim suafas albanim talks about be'id. That you can't have children be made against their parents and kill the parents based on the edus of their children. So didn't psuli edus has nothing to do with killing one for the sins of the other. Elamai, what do you see? Ein mikri yotzei midei pshuta. That even though the Gemara darshins it as a halacha about psuli edus, the pashut pshat is also correct because ein mikri yotzei midei pshuta. Maariv Chayis over here says, why is it that ein mikri yotzei midei pshuta? So Maariv Chayis writes. You have to say in Mikriyotzim de Pshuto, otherwise you could take all of the mitzvos in the Torah and say that they're all a metaphor. And you'll be mevatel every mitzvah in the Torah. Like mitzvos mila, you're going to say, no, just like the Navi sometimes talks about the orlas levavchem, the orla on our hearts, that mitzvos mila doesn't mean you should actually do a bris mila, it means that you should take off the orla on a person's heart, that a person should connect himself spiritually. Chas v'shalom, a person is going to say such things that slowly k'shartem lo'os al yadecha. It means to remember. It doesn't mean that you should actually strap tefillin onto your hands. So people will say all these terrible things. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos in Shor HaSheni says you have to be very careful about the lashon over here. It doesn't say ein mikra ella kipshuto. It says ein mikra yotze midei pshuto, meaning we do still believe that there is deeper interpretations of the psukim that are also true. It's not ein mikra ella pshuto. Pashup shav is not the only way, but it has to be one of the ways. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. There's a question, does this apply only to Torah? Or does it apply to Nevi'im and Ksuvim as well? The Rambam writes that all of the psukim that we have seem to be supernatural in terms of the Yemos HaMashiach, right? All the psukim that we find about what Yemos HaMashiach is going to be like, they're all allegory. Meaning all the psukim in the Navi that speak about how the world is going to change, we really pass like Shmuel in vain almost like Yemos HaMashiach al Shibud Malchus Bulvad. So the Ravid on the spot says Valo B'Torah Ksiv V'Garze Evim Keves. But it says in the Torah, "V'garze evim keves." So how can you tell me that all these things are only allegory? So I saw once one of the Achronim explains Rav Margolios, Rav Reuven Margolios, in one of his small blue svarim, he has these beautiful contrasim. So Rav Reuven Margolios explains that what's the Ravid asking? The Ram went through all these psukim navi and said that they all mean that the nations of the world are going to be at peace with us. They don't mean anything supernatural. So now the Ravid is going to say, "I v'alo b'toriksiv v'garze evim kevis," that the wolf is going to live with the lamb. Couldn't the Ravid figure out that the Ramam would be mitarit to that pasuk also, that the ze'ev is the nation nations of the world, and the Keves is Klal Yisrael, and it just means that there's not going to be war between us anymore. How does that Akasha of Lo Batorik Sivagar Zevim Keves? So Reuven Margolius explains, no, because there's a rule in Mikri Yotzi Midei Pshuto, and that rule is true in Torah, not necessarily in Nach. In Navi, the whole Navi is an allegory. All the Navim were misnavi with allegory. But in Torah, in Mikri Yotzi Midei Pshuto. So the Ravi doesn't say Valo Ksiv Vagar Zevim Keves. He knows there's plenty of psukim. The Ravi was very medayik in his lashon. He says Valo, but Torah Ksiv Vagar Zevim Keves. All your psukim Ramam that you're quoting, that you're claiming are allegory, they're all psukim in Nevi'im. So good, you can claim they're all allegory. What are you going to do with the pasuk in the Torah? Pasuk Parshas Hazinu Vagar Zevim Keves. How are you going to deal with that? Because Ein Mikri Yotze Midei Pshuto. So it seems that that at least would apply only in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, as opposed to in the Divrei Hanavim, where there's a lot of allegory in Divrei Hanavim. Okay, further in the Gemara is Simon Zarus. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shnei Talmid Chum Hamachadid in Zel Zeba Halacha, two Talmid Chum sharpen each other in Halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lem, Hashem will cause them to be successful. Shneimar Vador Chatzalach, that your glory will be successful. Valtikri Vadorcha, don't read it Vadorcha, Ella Vichadodcha, that when you machaded each other, when you sharpen each other, that's going to be successful. Velo od Ella Sha'ul Gadul. Not only that, but if Tamidicham challenge each other in a positive way, then they're going to be Ol Gadul, they're going to achieve prominence. Shnemar Tzalach Rachav. Yeah, that if you're successful, Rachav, you're going to ride on a horse, on a chariot, meaning a symbol of success. Yachla filu shalol lishma, you might think that this is going to happen even if a person learns shalol lishma, tamalomar aldvar emes. That's why the pasuk says aldvar emes, that a person has to be interested in the amito shel Torah. Apparently, this is another raya to what Chaim Voloshiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, that Torah lishma does not mean that you learn Torah l'shem Hashem, it means you learn Torah l'shem Torah, that you're interested in the amito shel Torah, that you're learning Torah because you want the emes of Torah, that you have this desire for the emes, and not because you want honor, you want people to respect you, or you want to win an argument, or anything like that. But it's not even about the religious experience of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as it is connecting to the Hashem's Torah, which on its own will connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not where the kavana is. The kavana is the amito shel Torah. Yochlim heges daito, I might think that even if a person becomes arrogant about his Torah, that even then he'll be successful with his learning, and Hashem will give him atzlacha. Tavlomer va'anavat tzedek, that it'll only work out if he has anivus. V'imosin kein zochlin Torah shenit nebiyamin. And if he does this, if he learns Torah and the Talmid Chum mechadid each other in halacha, then he's going to be zochah to the Torah which is given biyamin, which is given by the right hand of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'torcha noros yiminecha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar zochlin ledvarim shenemar biyamina shel Torah. He'll be zochah to the things that are said biyamina shel Torah. What's that? Damer Rava bar Rav Shila v'armilam Rav Yosef bar Chama am Rav Sheshes ma'idichsiv orich yamin biyamina b'smola osher v'chavod. What does the pasuk mean when it says that length of days, that arichus yamim is biyamina and on the left is osher v'chavod? Ela biyamina orich yamim ika osher v'chavod leka. On the yamin you only have arichus yamim and not osher v'chavod. If there's arichus yamim, which is the greater bracha, then kol shekein included in that is osher v'chavod. Ella, rather, what we mean to say is lemayminin ba, to those who are mayminin ba, says Rashi, shel Torah shemefash v'shin tamein b'dikduk uborin ki minam yumenes l'malacha. When with your right hand you're able to do much finer work, your fine motor skills are much stronger in your right hand than they are in your left hand. If you're going to go through Torah carefully and to be precise in your learning of Torah, you take it very seriously, and it's not just something that you do a little bit here, a little, but it's something that you're very careful with. So orich yamim, then you have orich yam ika v'kol shkein osher v'chavod. You have orich yamim, and obviously kal v'chomer osher v'chavod. L'mas mi'ilim ba, if it's just something you do on the side, that you, says Rashi, she'en yigeim ba kol tzarchan. You don't put as much effort into it as you should. Inam ma'iminim ba oskin l'shma mas'imim shalol l'shma, or maybe ma'iminim means l'shma, mas'imim means shalol l'shma, but let's even go with the first pshat, that mas mi'ilim ba, someone who doesn't use his right hand for it, meaning symbolizing that he doesn't put his efforts into really understanding it and really taking it seriously. So osher v'chavod ika aruch yam lecha. It's still going to be good for you. You're still going to get osher v'chavod, but there's not going to be aruch yamim. Right? And the second pshat of Rashi is that if you learn shalol l'shma, you'll still get osher v'chavod, but you're not going to get arichas yamim. So if a person learns l'shem osher v'chavod, it will work. He'll get the osher v'chavod that he's looking for if that's what his goal is. But he's not going to have the arichas yamim, the greater schar of Talmud Torah. There is a stira throughout Shas, whether it's a good idea to learn Shalol Lishma or a bad idea to learn Shalol Lishma. Over here it makes it sound like Shalol Lishma is still positive. It still is a net benefit. And in fact, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Beis, the Gemara tells us, Lolim Yamir Adam, Lolim Yaskam Torah Mitzvah Af Pi Shalol Lishma, Shemitok Shalol Lishma Balishma, that it's okay. You should learn Shalol Lishma. And then when you do Shalol Lishma, one day it will be Balishma. So the Rishonim, Bali Atosos, point out all over Shas that it seems to be against the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus says that it's a sama mothes, that if a person learns shalol lishma, it's like poison, it's a very bad thing for a person. So the Bali Atosos are mechalik between two types of shalol lishma. There's shalol lishma where you're just interested in kavod, and then there's shalol lishma where you're also the kanter, where you want to use it to be able to cause trouble, you want to use it to be able to give tzaras to Talmid Chacham, just to argue, just to be argumentative and not really to accomplish anything positive. And that's the bad kind of shalol lishma. Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malacha, Shnei Talmid Chacham Manochin Zal Zab Halacha. If you have two Talmid Chacham who are pleasant with each other in Halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makshev Lehen, Hashem is going to listen to them. Shenemar Oz Nidburu Yirei Hashem. Ein Dibur Ele Nachas. That Dibur refers to Nachas. Shenemar Yad Beram Tachtenu, as the pasuk says, Yad Beram Tachtenu, and Rashi points out, Yad Ber in that context means Yashpil, it means humility. So they'll humble, the nations will be humbled underneath us. So that's what it means. Oz Nidburu Yirei Hashem, that the Yirei Hashem are going to be Benachas, they'll be humble and fine. May L'choshe Shmo, what does L'choshe Shmo mean? Am Rav Yami, Afilu Chishev Lasos Mitzvah, V'nenas V'lo Asah, Malalav Akasav Kitlu Asah. Even if a person intended to do a mitzvah, but then he was honest, he couldn't do it, the Torah considers it as if he did the mitzvah. We just pointed out last night in Tuesday Night Shir that the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about Hilchus Chanukah, where the Avnei Nezer points out, why is it that of all mitzvahs, we pick certain mitzvahs to Rabbanan, that you have to sell your clothing in order to do the mitzvahs, that you have to sell yourself out to do work in order to do the mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs are right, so you only have to spend up until 20%. But for Ner Chanukah, all of a sudden, Afilu Ani Amisparnis Minat Staka has to go selling his clothing. So he points out that any mitzvah that relates to Persume Nisa has a clear goal associated with it. Most mitzvahs between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do it, you're showing your Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Hashem says, if you wanted to do it, but Venenas, it was out of your control, you couldn't do it, don't worry, I'll count it as if you did it. We still have that connection. But when there's a clear goal, like Persume Nisa, that the point is to inspire other people, that other people should see the Nes, appreciate the Nes, give Hodot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what you're trying to accomplish with the mitzvah, and so you can't say that I'm nenas, what can I do, it costs too much money, I don't have the money. Hashem's not going to say it's as if you did it, because other people lemaisa haven't been inspired, you didn't accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish. So that's why you have to spend all your money dafka for mitzvah of Persumei Nisa, based on this line. A person who does a mitzvah exactly as it's supposed to be done, they're not going to give him besoros ros, bad news. Shenemar shomer mitzvah, someone who observes mitzvahs very carefully and properly is not going to know from davar ra. Amar Rav Asi v'itim Rav Chanina, afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes a gzeira hu mevatla. Person is shomer mitzvahs bediktuk, even if Hashem is goes a gzeira, that person has the ability to be mevatla. Shenemar v'asher dibur mel shilton mi yomer lo matase v'samach lei shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. Because the pasuk says even when the king offers an edict, gives an edict, who's going to tell him what to do? And then it says right after that, Shomer Mitzvah, the Davara, that the Shomer Mitzvah will be able to tell him what to do. He'll be able to change the gezeros. Amar Rabbi Yab, Amar Shimon Lakish, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, Hamakshivim Zelo Zeh Bahalacha. If you have two Talmidei Chachamim that are makshivim each other, Rashi says that Melamdim Zeh Zeh, Mavinim Zeh Mizeh. They teach each other, they try to understand from each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomei Lekol, and Hashem listens to their voice. Shenemar, Hayoshevis Beganim, Chaverim Makshivim Lekol Chashmiyani. Beganim is Batim Drashos, the gardens over here referring to Batim Midrashos, so they're makshiv lekalecha, so Hashem will listen to them. V'meinos in kain gormen l'shchinim shemisalechis misol. They're not willing to learn from each other, then it causes the Shekhinah to leave Klal Yisrael. Shnamar Barach Dodi V'Doma. The pasuk says that my beloved is going to run away from me. That's the next pasuk. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now we're going to go into various other teachings of Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Shnei Talmid Chamim Hamadgilim Zela Zeba Halacha. Two Talmid Chamim that are Madgilim. Rashi says they gather each other together and say, "Come, let's learn together b'chavrusa," because we don't have a Rebbe to learn from. So when there's no Rebbe available, they always look for a chavrusa to be able to learn together. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Avan, Hashem loves such talmidim. Shneamar v'diglu alai ava. That's provided that they at least know a little something, that they know the basics of learning, that they should be able to accomplish something b'chavrusa. If they mamish don't know anything, so it's not gonna help. And that's only if there's no Rebbe in the city that they can learn from. I mean, if there's another Rebbe available who's greater than them that they can learn from, they should go to that Rebbe instead of saying, "Oh, my Rebbe's not here, so I'm not gonna learn anything." No, so go to someone else and learn from them. Someone who lends money to somebody else is doing them a greater favor than giving them tzedakah. A loan is a greater favor than tzedakah because there's no guilt associated with a loan. That was one of the things Achiezer was trying to figure out when they collected all the money. What do we do? How do you give people who won't take, who aren't used to taking? So do you maybe just call it a loan and say that if you could afford to pay it back, you pay it back? That's the greater tzedakah in a certain sense, because the person doesn't feel guilty taking a loan because he feels like he's going to have to pay it back. Umatil b'kis yosr mikulan. But the best tzedakah a person could do is to go into a partnership with him. Say that we'll be partners, I'll raise the capital and you'll run the business, and then the person who makes the money feels that he has a chelik in it, that he's earning it, and he is earning it, and you're giving him that ability to earn it on his own. That's the greatest tzedakah a person could ever do. V'am rabbi abba amr rabbi shimon lakish. Im talmud chacham no kem v'n Noter Kenachash, who chagrei al masnecha. I'm sorry. Im Talmud Chacham nokim v'noter Kenachash who chagrei al masnecha. If you have a Talmud Chacham that seeks vengeance like a snake, you should keep him close by. Im Ama Aretz who chassid al tider b'shkunasan. If you have an Ama Aretz who's a chassid, to stay far away from him. You might think, so what? He doesn't know so much Torah, but he's a chassid. He's such a fine person. You should stay close to such an Ama Aretz. No, you stay far away from an Ama Aretz. You might think, a Talmud Chacham, he rubs me the wrong way. He seems to come off too strong. He's nokem v'noter kenachash. No, you should still stay close to a Talmud Chacham. Maariz Chaya says that maybe Pshat over here is Shemati Lefareish. He says Al Derech Shomer Chazal, based on the Gemara in Tainis Daf Ches and Erech and Daf Tesvav, the Shalom Lenachash Mahana Yeshlo B'Neshichas La Adam Ikri Achrei Da Afra Lachmo. They say to a Nachash, what benefit do you get from biting a person? Your bread, your sustenance comes from dirt. Why would you bite a person? It doesn't help you any. So he says, maybe that's what it means. V'cheinat tamid chamim tzarich l'snaig b'midazu d'nikimu natira rak l'kavra Torah v'lo l'tzarcho l'nas atzmo. If you, Talmud Chacham has to have this midah that when he's nokim v'noter, when he acts with passion, it always has to be for the sake of something that he gets no personal benefit from. That it's only for the sake of the Torah. Just like the Nachash gets no personal benefit from biting people. That's the midah that we look for in the Talmud Chacham. That he's not doing it for selfish reasons, he's doing it because it's for the covenant of Torah. So that's the reason that you keep that a Talmud Chacham is described in this terminology, which would seem to be a very negative connotation of nokim noter kenachash. Now, why is it so bad to be near an Am Haaretz who's a chassid? So there is a Mishnah in Masech Savos, lo Am Haaretz chassid. There's no such thing as an Am Haaretz who's a chassid. I mean, Am Haaretz can't be a chassid. Based on the Chavos Halvavos, the Shar Mitzvah Balacha quotes from Sefer Divrei Shol, based on the Chavos Halvavos, that you can't do the extras before you do the chiyuv. Chassid means that you go beyond, that you do beyond the letter of the law. Before you know what the basic requirements are, you're not ready to go beyond the letter of the law. And not only that, you're more than likely that when you're trying to be extra machmir, you're trying to do the extras, if you don't yet know the letter of the law, more than likely you're going to be in violation of halacha. You need to know the basics. You need to have shlav achar shlav. And Torah growth always has to happen that way. It has to happen step after step, where we first get the basics down, and then we move up to things that are that are better. Now, we do hopefully aspire to move up. We aspire to be able to be mekabel more upon ourselves, as we shouldn't get in a rut and say, okay, this is where I am, this is who I am, where we should always be growing, but it has to be in a proper seder. Okay, vayter in the Gemara. Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, two lines from the bottom. V'armi lo Amar Rav Asi, Amar Reish Lakish. V'armi lo Amar Rav Yava, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Kol Megadol Kelev Rav B'toch Beso, Menei Achas B'toch Beso. Anyone who grows, who raises an evil dog in his house is holding back chesed from his house. Rashi says, She'enu Maniach Aniyim Lava L'Pischo. People aren't going to want to come to his door. Aniyim aren't going to come to his door to get tzedakah because they're going to be afraid of his dog. So he's holding back his own ability to do chesed. She'nemar L'me'as Mireu Chesed. She'kein B'lash Mivonis K'korin L'kelev Lamas. So Lamas is a lashon of a dog. In Lashon Yevanis, I don't know if that counts as a Daf Yomi coincidence. We're so close to Hanukkah, Lashon Yevanis. But Lamas, a dog. If you have a dog, a bad dog, that's going to hold back Chesed from a person's house. So Nachum Yisrael Gamar Af Porik Mimenu Yerushamayim. It's also going to take away a person's Yerushamayim. Shneamar V'Yerushaka Yazov. Hahi Itza. There was a woman, Da'ila Lahu, based on the Meifa, that went to a certain house to bake. There used to be, not everyone had an oven, so someone who had an oven would make a lot of money by renting out the oven for the local neighborhood women to come bake in their oven. So this woman went to a house to do her baking. Navach Bakalba, and they had a dog in the house, and the dog barked at her. It's Akar Vlada. She was pregnant, and she lost the child because she was so terrified from the bark of the dog. Amla Mari de Besa. So the owner, as dog owners tend to do, say, ah, lo tidchli, he's soft, don't worry about it. Dishkili nive, his teeth were taken out. Dishkilin tufre, his claws were removed. It's all okay, don't be scared. Amrle, shkula tivosecha, vishadya achizri, kvar nad vlad. You could take all the kind words that you're saying and the nice words that you're saying about how wonderful your dog is, and you could throw it on the thorns because he already scared me to the extent that the child is lost already. So don't tell me how wonderful he is and how nice he is. The Gemara in Baba Kama discusses also about raising a dog, and the Gemara talks about that if you have a dog that has to be chained with a shalshel, a shal barzel, because that way it won't scare people, because even if you see the dog is chained up really well, even if it barks, you feel secure. You know, sometimes you see children taunting it or something and they're not afraid because they know that it's chained up really well, that it's not going to hurt anybody when it's chained up really well. But if you have an aggressive dog, so that's the poskim discuss. How aggressive a dog can you not have? Meaning you have to be very careful the dog not be, and then you have, of course, the other problem is that if you don't neuter a dog gets very, very aggressive. So then it always becomes a kelev rat. The only way to keep it from being kelev rat is by neutering it, but it's nisa d'oraisa to neuter a dog. So that's another issue. Okay, lots of issues. Amar Rav Huna, Ma'idich Siv, Samach Bachar B'Yaldusecha, V'yitivcha Libcha B'Yimei B'Chorusecha, V'Holach B'Darki Libcha B'Marinecha, V'Dak Yal Kol Eli V'Yacha L'Kim B'Mishpat. So what's the pasuk referring to when it says that when you're young you should be happy and with Tovas Halev in your youthful exuberance in your young age, and you should go after your heart, and you know, and then you should realize Hashem brought you to judgment. So what's it about? Ad kan divrei yetzer hara, mikan ve'elach divrei yetzer tov. That up until that point, the first part of the pasuk is the yetzer hara, that just follow the yetzer hara is telling you, yeah, just follow your heart, do whatever feels good. But then the yetzer tov tells you to get serious. Reish Lakish amar ad kan divrei Torah, mikan ve'elach l'maisim tov. No, it's all the yetzer tov, it's all good. But the first part is talking about the divrei Torah, as Rashi explains, Samach b'talmudcha, you should take joy in your learning. Lamod misimcha mitov lev, v'halach b'darchei libcha lahavin ma b'libcha lefiros einecha. To follow darchei libcha doesn't mean to just do whatever you feel like doing. It means to follow the derech of your heart, to really internalize the Torah, to really make it talk to your heart. And then mikan ve'elach l'maisim tov v'dak al kol eila al kol mashalmatcha sofcha litein es hadin im lo tekayim. Rashi explains that the second part of the pasuk where we say v'dak al kol eili v'yachal l'kim b'mishpat, that Hashem is going to bring you to justice, you should realize that after you've learned so much Torah and you learned about how to do all the mitzvos, lilmor al menas lasos, now you're really responsible for all the mitzvos. We can't say mutav shishogin anymore. We can't say, you know, better, okay, he doesn't know, it's not his fault, what is he? Now that you learned and now that you've studied, now you know what the expectations are, so now there's going to be judgment for whether one has fulfilled those expectations or has does not fulfill those expectations. Biris Tara. Now we finally get back to the halachic discussions of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had said that there are two things, that a biris is tahar, a garter is tahar, and you're allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, but kevalim are tameh, and you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, biris zu etz ada. Biris is some type of band, like an armband. Masav Rav Yosef, biris tahar, Rav Yosef ba b'Shabbos, vilu etz ada tameh. He says, no, it can't be an armband, because the halacha is that a biris is tahar, and you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. But we know that an etz ada is tameh. That's a pasuk in Chumash, b'midbar lamin aleph, b'maisa midyan, etz ada v'tzamid. Mentioned in the parshios of things that you have to be metaher. So obviously in etzada is tameh. So don't tell me that a birus isn't etzada, because a birus is tar, etzada is tameh. So rather what we have to say is as follows. Halchikamer, birus tachas etzada omedes. The birus is placed under the etzada, which means, as Rashi says, tachas etzada shebezroa omedes b'shok lahachzik patei shokeha. Meaning, like you have an armband on your arm, you would have a birus on the thigh, on the leg, to hold up these stockings. Shelo yiplu, that they shouldn't fall off, v'yiru shokeha, and the thighs would then become exposed. Over here, thigh, l'chora, means the bottom half of the leg. Right, because the top half of the leg, they weren't wearing stockings all the way up the leg, that if they would fall off, they would expose the top half of the leg. Some of that a skirt or a dress or something over the top half of the leg. Shok, this sounds like it means the bottom, below the knee, right? That's a question. Shok bi isha erva is a major machlokas. What does shok bi isha erva mean? Which part of the leg is a woman not supposed to expose? Which part is considered erva? Is it below the knee or above the knee? So we generally, the majority of poskim generally assume that it's above the knee is considered the shok. And in different contexts, you have rayas in different directions, what the shok actually is. This sounds like it's the bottom half of the leg. Hilkach tahora, says Rashi, delav l'noihi. And therefore it's tar, because it's not considered a noi, it's not considered an adornment, because it's just there to hold up the stockings. V'kli tashmish nami lohavi, ela kli ha-mashamish kli. It's also not a kli tashmish, because you're not using the garter, it's being used to hold up the stocking. The stocking is what you're using. It's a tashmish to tashmish. So that's why it's going to be tahar. It's not going to be considered a real kli. So Yosef Rav and Rav Huna back in the Gemara came to Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rav and Rav Huna were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. V'Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah became namnim, and Rabbi Yirmiyah happened to have been dozing off. V'Yosef Rav and Vakamar Biris ba'achas kevalim b'shtayim. And Ravin was explaining the difference between a biris and kevalim. He said biris is when you have a garter on one leg, kevalim is when it's on both legs. Amar le Rav Huna elu ve'elu b'shtayim. Rav Huna said no, both a biris and kevalim are when it's on both legs. Umatilin shalshalos b'neim v'nasu kevalim. But when you put a chain between them to connect the two bands, the two garters, that's when it becomes kevalim. When it's biris, it's just two independent bands, one on each leg. When it's kevalim, there's a chain that connects them. V'shalshalas shabo m'shavi l'mana. What? So when you add a shalshalas, all of a sudden it becomes a kli? Because we said a biris is tahara, but a kevalim are tameh. So what? Because there's a chain connecting them, that makes them a mana, that makes them a kli, that they're going to be tameh now. V'chite b'k'ra b'shmo b'nachmeni. And if you're going to say like b'shmo b'nachmeni, tam r'shmo b'nachmeni am rabbi yochanan minayim l'mashmiya kol b'kli matchos. Shu tameh, how do I know that metal kelim that make noise is tameh? Shenemar kol dover. Why does it say the word davar? We just had this rasha. Afilu dibur b'mashma. It's to tell me that even things that speak, that make noise, that's considered a kli. So bishlam hasam kabola l'kal v'kavan ma'isa. Yeah, when you want it for the noise and it does some sort of function, so then you're going to say that it's going to be tame. But hacham my ma'isa kavan. But over here, what's it accomplishing? The chain is not accomplishing anything. It seems like a decorative chain that connects the two garters of what does it accomplish though? And so Gemara Achanami Kavin Maisa, it does accomplish something. The Amr Rabba Barbara Chana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishpacha Achas Haisub Yushalayim Shoyb Siyosein Gasos. There was a certain family in Yushalayim that the way they walked, it was just a genetic thing, that the way all the women in the family walked, they would take these giant steps or these very wide steps, Vahi Basul Sein Noshos, and it affected their Basulim. They weren't, when the girls got married, their Basulim weren't there anymore because they were taking such wide steps, they were doing splits all over the place. So Asulan Kavalim Veitiu Shalshalos Beinem. So they made them these chains, garters with chains in between them. them so that they're to hold their stride back a little bit, so their stride would be a lot shorter. So the stride won't be as wide, and their besulim therefore won't become removed. So it did accomplish a function as well, and that's why it's a kli. Iter b'hu Rabbi Yirmiyah. So at that point in the conversation, remember Rabbi Yirmiyah was there, he was sleeping. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up. Amar lahu yeyashev v'chein Rabbi Yochanan. He says, yeah, whatever you're saying now, that's good. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said as well. So apparently in his sleep, he was able to hear what was going on in the conversation. Not sure exactly why we emphasize this, particularly about Rabbi Yirmiyah a few times, but even about other Amorayim in Shas, that the conversation was happening while they're misnamnim, while they're dozing off. So I don't think, mistama, we're not trying to speak badly about them that they were falling asleep in the learning. We're trying to speak about their hasmada, that they learned to the point of exhaustion, that they were learning to the point where they just their eyes were closing, and even so they were hearing what was going on around them. They were still in the Beis Medrash environment even as their eyes were closing. Kiyasrav dimiyam Rav Yochanan minayin la'ari kol shuhu shuhu tamei. How do I know that a woven item, even of the tiniest size, is tame? Says Mar, mitzitz. We learn it from the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, because that was a very tiny woven item. Amle Abaye, v'tzitz ariku? What? Tzitz wasn't woven? V'atanya, we have a brisa. Tzitz k'mintashel zahav. It was a golden plate. It has nothing to do with weaving. V'rochav shtei etzbaos. It was two etzbaos wide. U'mukaf me'ozen la'ozen. And extended from one ear of the Kohen Gadol to the other ear. V'kosav alav b'bei shitin. And it was written on it on two lines. Yud hei l'mala. V'kodesh lamid l'mata. It would say the yud and the hei above. And kodesh lamid below. So it was kodesh l'Hashem is the way it was read. Now Tosfos points out, well, that wouldn't read straight then. It would read Hashem Kodesh Le. So Tosfos points out, what you have to say is that that which was written on the top line, the Yud and the Hey that was Lamala, was at the end of the top line, and that which was written on the bottom line was at the beginning of the bottom line. So it could still read somewhat straight if it was arranged in that way. V'amra b'lazab Rabbi Yossi, ani re'isav b'ir Romi. B'lazab Rabbi Yossi says, I saw it in Ir Romi, Kasuv Kodesh Lashem B'shita Achas, and there were no two lines, it was all in one line. So, but the bottom line is, you see, this was not a woven item, this was a metal plate. So how can you learn from the tzitz that orig kolshu was tame? So kisalok Rav Dimi Linarda shalok ludvarm shemarti lechem tosem biyadi. So Rav Dimi Linarda, when Rav Dimi went to Narda, he sent a message and he said, everything I said to you, it was a mistake, I changed my mind. And this is obviously a very important midah in learning, to be able to admit mistakes. That's Gemara Bava Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. Rav used to say to his talmidim, when you have a piska dedina, one of my psukim that you hear and you have a kasha on it, you should ask me the kasha, and if I have an answer, I'll answer you, and if not, hadarnabi, I guarantee you I will be chozer, because that's the MS. You have to be chozer when one is proven wrong. So he says he was willing to say, tosem biyadi, bram kacham rumishum Rabbi Yochanan. This is what they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'tachshit kol shu shu tamei. Not how do I know orig kol shu is tamei, how do I know tachshit kol shu hu is tamei, that even the smallest adornment is tamei. Meitzitz, that we know from the tzitz. When we name the orig kol shuhu shu tame, and how do I know that the smallest woven thing is tame? Me o beged. That's a drasha from o beged. Tosfos asks, what do you mean? Tachshit kol shuhu? Shouldn't we learn it from the fact that one of the clay midyan described in the Chumash is a tabas, a ring? Is there any smaller tachshit than a ring? So Tosfos says you have to say that there are certain rings that are very, very large. Maybe you're talking about one of those four-finger rings or something like that. So you don't know that it's necessarily kol shuhu just because it's a ring. So that's why we need to learn it dafka from the tzitz. But ari kol shuhu, we learn from obeged. Tan Rabbanus, we have a brisa, teaches these same halachos. Ari kol shuhu tamei, v'tachshit kol shuhu tamei, orig v'tachshit kol shuhu tamei. Something tiny that's woven is tamei, something that's a tiny tachshit is tamei, and something that's a combination of a tachshit and woven that's very tiny is also tamei. Most of sak al beged shetamei mishum orig. Sak is tamei more so than a beged in that it's tamei mishum orig because it's woven. Amar Rava, orig kol shuhu tamei me o beged. How do I know a tiny woven item is tamei? From o beged. Tachshit kol shuhu tamei, mitzitz. How do I know the tiniest tachshit is tamei? We know that from the tzitz. Orig v'tachshit kol shuhu tamei, mikol kli masa. We have another pasuk that we learn that a combination of orig v'tachshit. Tosfos points out, Arg Vitach can't be a kol shu anymore because you need a kol shu of each in order for two kol shus. So it's got to be at least a little more than a kol shu. We mean something very small. Amalei umir Rabbanan l'Rava, ha'hu b'midim ksif. So one of the Rabbanan said to Rava, what do you mean? How do you bring a raya from kol kli masa? That's by midyan. And by midyan, we're describing things that became tummy from a mace, Rashi explains. So you can't learn halachos of sheret from halachos of a mace for chumras because a mace has a more chumra dikatuma. So that's why it's going to be mitame even b'kol shuhu. But that won't tell you that when something is mitame b'sheret, that it's going to be mitame b'kol shuhu. So that's not a good source to learn from midyan. Amalei gomer kli kli mehasam. By shratzim it says kol kli asher yasam alacha, and by mace also it says mikol klei ma'ase. So we're able to learn out gzereshava kli kli one from the other, even though normally you wouldn't be able to learn out from mematzinu, but gzereshava you're able to learn one from the other. Okay.